Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
For more than a decade, Gawker.com has been an internet journalism pioneer, creating a brand that's edgy and clever, mixing gossip and news. You could say it helped pave the way for global online media brands like Vox and BuzzFeed. Gawker has spun off sites with different themes, Jezebel aimed at women, Deadspin for sports, but the main site has always been a sort of grab bag of gossip and pop culture. That changes this week, the site says. Gawker will now be a politics site. Joining us now to talk about that is NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. Hi, David.
Hey, Indira.
So this announcement seems a pretty abrupt change for that site, but maybe on a basic level it makes some sense. Each of the Republican primary debates has broken TV audience watching records. Is Gawker trying to capitalize on the 2016 nuttiness?
Well, I think there are two things going on. I think it is a sort of a festival of the joyously bizarre that we're seeing on the campaign trail. Mm-hmm. You're seeing a lot of people say things that get repeated, iterated endlessly on cable news and elsewhere. It's you know, for a place that is generally left of center, certainly somewhat anarchistic in outlook, a place like Gawker, it's a lot of fun for them to play with, and they've got some smart people, John Cook, Alex Perrine, and others there who have experience in writing about politics and who can do that there. I think there's something else going on, which is that Gawker has been known, made its name in some ways for the gossip that it did. It, mm-hmm. Used to track people around town, but it's really ran aground on two big stories of late. It's being sued by the former pro wrestler Hulk Hogan for mm-hmm. invasion of privacy involving a sex tape that it posted. He said that was intrusive. There was no right to do that. That could be an exorbitantly costly case for Gawker to lose, and they don't have as deep pockets as a major media company might. In addition, they seem to sort of lose their way for a bit a few months ago when they exposed a media executive's planned, although not fulfilled, assignation. Mm-hmm. With a male escort, although the executive was married, not a famous person, not a famous executive, not a prominent figure.
Although he was the brother of a prominent person.
That's right, of a cabinet secretary. And so there was a lot of internal dissension. It tore Gawker apart for a while, and they said, we want to be 20% nicer. We want to get away from simply exposing for the sake of exposing. And it seemed as though Gawker was trying to refine footing, and I think that both from a financial and a branding aspect, they say this may be a fresh start for us. And after all, if we cover politicians, they're in the public eye, much harder for them to sue us anyway.
All right. Well, the New York Times has written that the site pioneered the tone that has come to define web journalism. What does that mean?
Well, I think there was an emphasis on hot takes, on snark, mm-hmm. on quick witticisms, on finding ways in. And at the same time, I think Gawker and let's mention its affiliated sites, places like Jezebel, Deadspin, Gizmodo and others have often done deep dives as well. They've done some real original reporting, and it's why I think it's unfair to dismiss them as merely frivolous. They do some really interesting stuff, and they capture some ideological hypocrisies on both sides of the aisle. They do some other things as well. But there was an emphasis on being clever rather than being mm-hmm. fair, on being quick rather than being contemplative. And I think that informs a lot of their imitators as well.
That's a really good point. A lot of snark out there online for sure. All right. On another story you've been watching, David, the publisher of GQ magazine has been found in contempt of court in England for publishing an article about a trial before the jury had reached a verdict. Give us some more details on this.
Well, this goes back to a case that we certainly tracked a fair amount involved. Folks who had gone on trial for the hacking and bribery scandal that beset the tabloids of Rupert Murdoch's British publishing arm. And what's most notable is that GQ UK has a columnist who's an American-based, lives here in New York, Michael Wolff. He's a USA Today's media columnist as well. He wrote about some of the figures at the center of that, some of the well-known in British circles. And he wrote about things and implications of things that have been widely posted and published throughout Britain for the years preceding the trials. But in Britain, you can't do that when the people are actually on trial. You can only post and write about what's actually taken place and transpired in court. So the judges found that GQ UK was in contempt of court and rightly mm-hmm. in contempt of court. And at the same time, by American lights, what an incredible inhibition on a free press. They're in what we think of as the cradle of a parliamentary democracy that inspired our own freedoms here, that they would say that a journalist couldn't write what was not disputed as being incredibly untrue, but disputed as being unfair merely because it had to do with their trial.
Hmm.
And so it seemed to me a signal moment where, British mores not only differ from ours, but also seem not to take into account the digital age.
A real difference in the attitude to the press freedom there. All right. Lastly, in the short time we have left, the refugee debate has been big in the news this week. A lot of strong rhetoric from presidential candidates, governors, Congress. And then yesterday, a CNN journalist was suspended for 2 weeks for a tweet that seemed to criticize the House for their vote to keep out refugees. I'm sure this sent chills down the spines of many journalists who tweet quite actively and are encouraged to do so. What do you think?
Well, I don't speak for NPR here, although I cover the media, as you know, for NPR. But my feeling is that journalistic organizations want their reporters and people online almost all the time sharing thoughts and observations on social media and news as well. It's very hard to do that and not reveal some implications here. I think that the two-week suspension that this reporter get for saying that Lady Liberty would hang her head in shame for the denial of allowing more refugees in here is a little severe.
That's NPR's media correspondent David Folkenflik. Thank you.